Verse number 22, the Bible says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old way of doing things, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I covered that for you the other day in Romans chapter number 12, the spirit of your mind, and he tells you that you're supposed to renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? You got to think the way God thinks. That's what you find in the Bible. And that you put on the new man, verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Father, bless your word. Thank you for these folks that have braved the elements and the traffic to come out. We'd ask God your blessings upon them and their family, the work of their hands. We'd ask for special protection upon everybody that's listening. And upon the folks that have been able to get here tonight. Lord, bless them for their faithfulness and for their willingness to come. We'd ask, Lord, as we prayed earlier in Bible study, that you might move that thing to the east of us here and get it off our backs if you see fit. And if not, if you'd protect us and take care of us and watch over the things that we have, that we might be able to rejoice on Sunday and talk about how good you've been to us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now I want to deal with this thing right quick, if I can, possibly. I don't know how quick I can deal about lying. And a lot of people don't understand that when it comes to lying, you're not just lying to one another, you're lying to God. Come to Acts chapter number 5. And there's all kind of ways to lie. You can lie with your face without ever saying a word. You can have somebody ask you a question, and you can make such a face or illustrate a point with your face to make somebody believe something that's not true. You don't have to always do it with your mouth. Nowadays, long after the Bible was written, you can lie with your thumbs now. You can lie with pictures now. You can lie with innuendos now. You can put up a picture of what you were 20 years ago and then try to go troll the dating websites and all that other kind of stuff to make them think they're getting something they're not getting. And then when you show up, you feel like, well, if my personality will shine the way that I believe it can, and maybe they'll take me once they see me, and no matter how I look, then it'll be that kind of a deal. Well, that's kind of you're lying. People lie on resumes now. They lie on tax records now. They all kind of ways to lie. Well, preacher's not really lying. You know, it's an accepted practice. It's lying. A fellow told me years ago, and I've found it to be true, if somebody will lie to you, they'll steal from you. Now, I wrote that down. I never forgot that. But I thought to myself, there's somebody that's got a little bit of wisdom. Number two, when somebody lies to you, I'll show you in the Bible tonight if I can get around to it. If they lie to you, it shows you what they think of you. The Bible says they hate you. If they lie to you, they don't care nothing about you at all. If somebody lies to you about something like that, it tells you a lot about their lack of concern about who you are. You don't deserve the truth. They'll just tell you whatever they want you to hear. That should let you know what politicians think of you. You say, how do you know politicians lie? Their mouth's moving, isn't it? Well, not all politicians are that way. You must be planning on being one. Because sooner or later, that guy's going to come to a point where he's going to have to cut some kind of a corner, and he's going to have to shade the truth just a little bit and try to make it come out the way he wants. Now, there's all kind of things. Well, preacher, here's the first question comes about lying. Well, preacher, is it wrong to lie? Yes, it's wrong to lie. Well, preacher, suppose I'm being strapped down and they're waterboarding me and they want to know where everybody's hidden out, and if I tell them they're going to get my family and they're going to get my kids and all that kind of stuff, is it okay for me to lie then? I mean, if I tell the truth, then it's going to cost somebody else their life. Well, don't be stupid. Use a little common sense. Well, preacher, it's lying. I think God will understand that you're making sure that you're covering for somebody back there, that your wife and kids, that you're given a first order to protect them and take care of them. And second of all, I doubt anybody in here, maybe one or two of you might, but I doubt anybody in here to ever be waterboarded in the first place. You haven't got any information they want. What do you got to tell them? If they come right now, set you down here and got a drill and drilled your teeth or hit you with a hammer, knocked your teeth out, or began to pull your fingernails off, or waterboarded. You want to see the wizard? A friend of mine that did black ops and stuff like that was with a special ops team and stuff, and he kept talking one day to another guy off to the side, and I finally stepped over there. I said, what are y'all talking about? They both kind of shut up, and I said, oh, come on, man, let me in on the deal. And he said, well, we were talking about in the days when they taught us to see the wizard. I said, what does it mean to see the wizard? He said, they take you to the bottom of a swimming pool. He said, they take you to the bottom of a swimming pool and they drowned you. And he said, literally, right before you die, you start seeing stars. And he said, we call it seeing the wizard. And he said, then they bring you up and they resuscitate you. He said, that's part of the training stuff that they take you to teach you about being waterboarded. I shouldn't be laughing, but it's comical to me. And what he was asking the guy in his training, he goes, did you see the wizard? He goes, yeah, I saw the wizard. And they said, have you seen the wizard? I said, I don't want to see the wizard, man. I said, the only wizard I know is the Wizard of Oz, and he's got flying monkeys, and that's all I need to know. I don't want nothing to do with him. But that's what they used to talk about. And they say, you know, waterboarding you, that's what it's like. You're drowning. Well, I don't want anything to do with that. Well, preacher, is it okay to lie in a situation like that? Well, find yourself in a situation like that and ask God to forgive you and don't tell them where your troops are hidden, okay? But other than that, ladies and gentlemen, use some common sense. And common sense, what it comes to is before you put your mouth in gear and you're fixing to tell a lie, like tell the kids to tell the guy on the phone, tell them I'm not here. You're training them to say certain lies are okay under certain circumstances. Why don't you have the backbone to pick up the phone and say, yes, I'm here, what can I do for you? Well, I'm wondering about so on and so forth. Well, I'll get it to you as quick as I can. I told you I'm working to myself to death right now, and I'll give you a cut off the top as soon as I get paid. And I appreciate the phone call. I'm sorry you're having to call me, but I'm doing my best to get caught up quick as I can. Thank you. Hang the phone up. And if it's these stinking solicitors and stuff like that and all that other kind of stuff, pick up the phone. Don't tell them you're not there. Tell them, don't call me anymore. Or hang up on them, but don't tell your kid to tell them I'm not here. You're lying to them. Let the kid answer the door. Tell them I'm not here. And then they're going to wind up saying, well, I'm from HRS. I want to know why your kid's here by themselves. Oh, well, we weren't. No, don't tell them. Don't teach them to lie. A policeman pulls you over. Do you know why I stopped you? Kids in the back seat, you know, sitting there, all of a sudden you turn the music down. Do you know why I stopped you? Well, I have no idea why you stopped me. Well, Daddy, I was looking over your thing right there. The speed limit was 55. You're running 75. You sure? Yet you just said something about it because your mama just said to you that you're going to get a ticket. See how acceptable it is? See how acceptable it is? You step on the scale. The scale says overweight. Okay, we better get off of that. Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5, if you will, please, verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias, Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. She was in on it. She knew what was going on. This is after they had all agreed that whatever they sold, they would give. Now watch. There was nothing wrong with them keeping it if they wanted to keep it. That's not the problem. Peter said to Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the who? Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? Didn't it belong to yours? It's yours, you can do with it whatever you want to. Ananias could have brought any part of it he wanted to. He could have brought nothing at all if he wanted to. It was his land to do with what he wanted to do with it. But he said he was going to give it, and he didn't give it. Do you see? Now watch. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto... Well, Pete, here's it. Did you sell the land? Yeah, man, sure did. Sold the land. Yeah, really? You got the... Yeah, here's the full price for the land. Peter said, why'd you lie to the Holy Ghost? You know what happens to him? He drops dead. His wife comes in a little bit late. I guess she was parking the car or something or stopped off somewhere and left him there and went and got a donut. Or maybe she came in because she hadn't quite got the curlers out of her hair or something. I don't know. But she was late coming in the door. She comes in there like a prancing poodle and she walks in and everybody's looking around. And they already know that Ananias has already dropped dead, been rolled up in a sheet and taken out back and buried in the church cemetery. And she comes walking in there, walking around, you know, thinking, boy, today's the day. I'm going to get recognized for all I did. You know, we got plenty to put in the plate today. Boy, it's really going to be something. They're going to sure appreciate me. I'm going to turn on all the Lottie Moon lights, man. I'm going to make the thermometer rise for the building program. Boy, it's going to really be something. Today's the day. I told him how special it was and that kind of a deal. And Pete says to her, says, hey, Sapphira, how you doing? She says, I appreciate it, Peter. Good to hear from you. I'm doing wonderful. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is up to date. And he says, I'm doing wonderful. I appreciate you calling on me. Like my new hat, you know, and look at these new shoes. Boy, aren't there really something like that? Peter says, yeah, that's a lot of new stuff you're wearing there. Do you come into a little bit of money? Oh, yeah, we came into a little bit of money. Sure we did. Yeah, but we gave it all that we were supposed to give. I told you what I gave it. Every bit of it. Didn't hold nothing back. Peter said, no kidding. Is that truth? She said, yeah, it's true. By the way, where's my husband? She turns around and she said, the same guys that carried him out are waiting there to carry you out. Bap! She falls over dead right there and rolls him up. And the people are aghast. You know what he says? The same thing to her that he said to her husband. You didn't just lie to men, you lied to God. Now, when you lie to one another, ladies and gentlemen, you're in the body of Christ. Now, here's the thing. Here's a strange thing people don't understand, and this is going to hurt a little bit. But I want to ask you a question. If you talked about my wife all the time and then picked up the telephone and called me and asked me to do something for you, and I knew you'd been talking about her all the time, would you think I'd be in a big hurry to help you out? Well, how come it is you think God's kind of slow to help you out when you're always talking about his wife? That's the body of Christ you're picking at. Preacher Lackey used to preach a message years ago. I listened to it every now and then. I about wore the tape out. Adrenal Lynn's been trying to get me to get it on a computer thing or whatever so I could digitize the thing or something. I about wore the thing out. The message is called Kicking the Bride. It's worth listening to. It's an old, old, old thing. It's back in the late 60s, early 70s. And what he did was he went and got him a beautiful mannequin, set it up there and put a real expensive wedding dress on her and put some pearl earrings on her and put a veil on her and put a beautiful jeweled necklace on her and that kind of a thing, pretty shoes, made her all up, sat her right up in front of the church, big church, a lot of people there. And he began to talk, and he began to talk about, people talking about each other. And he walked by, and he slapped her off the seat like that. And everybody's thinking, what in the world, man? And then he reaches down there and grabs her by the dress and starts dragging her while he's talking about lying to one another and talking about one another. And then he turns around and just takes a big old, and he just spits on her like that. And then he trips over and steps on her. And by the time he gets done, he goes through everything that a Christian could do to another Christian. And he runs through that thing and he says, he called it kicking the bride. And he's just kicking that thing around. He's just kicking that thing around. He's just kicking that thing around. And he's kicking it from one end of that big old auditorium to the other end of that big old auditorium and back and forth and back. And I mean like a raging bull he's going. And then he comes back in there and he sets that thing up there in front of everybody to see. And he said, now if that was your wife, what would you want to do to the person that did that to your wife? And the message ends like this. And what do you think Jesus is going to do to you for what you've done to his bride? Boy, you could hear a pin hit the carpet in that place, boy. It's a rough message. I mean, it's not something that tenderfeet nowadays can take. People would faint if they hear that. I mean, it is rough, boy. But you talk about making a point. Being unable to control your mouth when it comes to talk to about somebody else. You can't wait to tell something. You don't even know it's true, but it paints it in your favor. That's a lie. No, preacher, I'm just exaggerating. I'm just blowing it up where people can see it. No, you're lying. And that's sometimes you lie by omission. You don't tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you God. You tell the truth that'll facilitate your position, but you don't tell everything. I can't tell you how many trials that's happened in where they've held back on both sides of the deal. On both sides, prosecutor, hold back information the defense should have. Let the guy get a fair trial. You know, he may be guilty. Well, then do what you got to do to get him found guilty the right way, but it don't justify you lying. But in the Christian sense, ladies and gentlemen, if you could get the people to quit lying to each other, you'd realize the only reason you lie to somebody is because you don't like them. You don't care nothing about them. You can't call yourself a friend of Jesus and lie to his bride. There's 19 of these things, by the way. I got some people that are real friends of mine, but I can say this unequivocally, they don't lie to me. And I care enough about them not to lie to them even if they ask me hard questions. You say, why? My relationship with them means more to me than whether or not I preserve my reputation. They'd rather hear the truth and hear I messed up than to hear me try to cover up. Well, what do you think Jesus thinks of that? Well, let's just see. I'll give you a couple of verses here. I said I'd try to get you out of here by 8 o'clock, and I'm going to do my best to do it. Maybe some of the traffic will die down. Come to Psalms chapter number 31. Psalms 31. Well, preacher, that's kind of rough. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. You can be clean as a hound's tooth, but do you realize that the Lord talks about lying even all the way over in the book of Revelation? It must be something we're prone to do. He got all upset at Jacob. You know why? He was a liar and a conniver. Always painting things the wrong way. He's a liar. Well, no, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. You know what the devil is? He's a liar. How many lies come from God? None. How many lies come from the devil? All of them. The worst lie in the world is 99% truth. Just a smidgen amount. If I had a glass of water up here, I had it pure, come right out of the ground, pure as it could possibly, come out of a mountain stream, right out of a snow melt or whatever. And that thing's just as pure and crystal and up there, nice and cold. And I just took an eyedropper and put a drop of just strychnine in there. Would you want to drink it? Well, come on, it's 99.9% water. That's what a lie does. I heard an illustration given by a preacher years and years ago. I never forgot it. It was an old heavyset preacher downtown. And it was a good guy, straight guy, until those stinking people got a hold of him there and messed him up. They were real intellectual, and he could get a crowd and all that other kind of foolishness, and he got moved off of his position. Real clean fella. I never knew a guy that was just clean as a hound's tooth. Yeah, kind of backward fella, sort of not real outgoing, kind of quiet. You get on the elevator with him, he'd back up in a corner and just kind of stand there. Not, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I appreciate you being here. And he wasn't that way. He was just quiet. But he was like a lion in the pulpit. And I don't mean this in a query way. A sweet man. He was just a sweet man, just a kind man, like a pastor's pastor. But he had an edge to him, and he could preach. And that guy said one time he was dealing with lying and stuff. And he said a woman told a lie on another woman, and that kind of a deal, and it caused a lot of problems and this and that and the other. And finally, the truth got found out. And the woman went to the first woman and said, I sure am sorry that I made this mistake and I shouldn't have done it. And the lady said, you got a feather pillow? And she said, yeah, I got a feather pillow. She said, well, go take it downtown and rip it open and let the wind blow for a minute and then try to gather all those feathers and then you'll find out what it'll take for you to recover the damage your lie's done. You never get all the feathers back. Just be better not to tell it in the first place. I don't think people understand that. We just take for granted. We just talk. It's a normal thing. We just talk. You've been watching too much of the news. Too much of the used to be National Enquirer was the only trash magazine and stuff like that out. Nowadays it's everywhere. And nowadays you've got reporters that everybody that has a Facebook account is a reporter. Because all you do is traffic in other people's foolishness. Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. Well, I use it the right way. Okay, well, praise the Lord. We'll excuse you. But most people don't use it the right way. I've never talked to a person straight up that could tell me, eyeball to eyeball, I have never lied on that thing one time. Can you? Say, why don't you have it? I don't need nothing to help me lie. That's why I ain't got it. I'd be tempted to do it. Psalms chapter number 31. We want to please the Lord, don't we? Notice what he says, come down to verse number 18. Oh, make it 17. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Now, isn't that a strange thing? Let lying lips be doing, what are they doing? They're talking about the righteous. They're talking about people they shouldn't be talking about. Comes to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, 163. And a fellow reproached me not long ago, was talking to him about his soul and just dealing with him about where eternity was going to be, just having a man-to-man kind of a deal, not a big knockdown, drag out or anything, just sort of a casual kind of a conversation with a guy. And he said, well, you know something? He said, I understand everything you're saying, preacher. I understand what you're saying, and I know you're right, preacher. But you know all them hypocrites in the church, you know. And I said, you know what? You're right. But just because there's hypocrites in church don't mean that can get you into heaven, because you can point to somebody that's doing what you're guilty of. But the flip side is that shouldn't we take that argument away from them? You know what a hypocrite is? It's a liar. A hypocrite is somebody that claims to be something they're not and claims to act a certain way and they don't. That's what the definition of a hypocrite is. It's a person that says, I'm a Christian, and acts like the carnal world. Boil it down, you're a liar. I'm a liar. When I do that, I'm not a hypocrite, I'm a liar. Because I said I'm something and I'm not what I'm supposed to be. Psalms 119, 163. I don't mean to be rough on you on the eve of destruction coming, you know. And what was the last message you got before you went to heaven? He called me a liar. Yeah, thank God you can't be a liar. You can be a Christian that lies, but you can't be a liar anymore. You'd be glad of that. But you get over into Revelation, you say, why? All liars will find their place in the lake of fire. I can't be touted as a liar anymore. I can be a Christian that lies, but I can't be that person anymore. Psalms 119, 163. I am going to read it to you in a second here. Make it 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. That's like Jeremiah. He's persecuted without a cause. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate, and abhor lying. But thy law do I love. Now, he just made a contrast there. He said, I hate and abhor lying. And then he said, but I love the law. In other words, what he's saying is that anybody that says something that doesn't say, I hate that, that's lying. I love the law. So what he's saying there is that all these other versions that are out there, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. A guy stopped me last night at the back door and wanted to have a discussion. They always want to do it right when you're, you know, getting finished with a service. Proverbs chapter 6, from getting done with a service and standing back there and shaking hands and talking to people and that kind of a thing, deciding what was going to happen. And I'm back there and he wants to have some discussion about manuscript evidence and about this and that and the other and so on and so forth. I don't know who he was trying to impress until later on, and I found out he is, you know, an individual that's created all kind of discontent and stuff around there. And he's trying to convince me that the ESV was just as credible as a King James Bible. And I'm trying to be gracious because there's people around. That's what they'll do. They won't get you by yourself. They get you around people so that it sort of restrains what you want to say. And you feel like you want to slap them, but there's too many witnesses. That's how you feel. They're like right up on you. And you're just in there, and they're smiling while they're talking to you. And so that makes you feel like if you make a face like mine is right now, oh, well, look, that preacher's being mean to him kind of thing. It's a setup. I know what it is. It's a setup. Well, you know, he's got his Bible. It says prophetic Bible on the front like that. And he said, now we do use the King James Bible and so on and so forth. But I find often when you get to those difficult passages to interpret that the ESV is just as reliable. And I'm thinking, oh, slap that thing out of your hand. And I said, well, I don't find it that way. And he says, well, but I said, I'm too old to change. And I said, appreciate you coming. It's nice to have you here. And I'm sure you know you're black. Well, I don't go to this church. And I, okay, there it is. So you come to the church that you left to hear the guest speaker, but to let everybody know the guest speaker and me. See, he shook my hand. Somebody get a photo picture. To make it look like I'm in agreement with him so that the people that are there in the church think, well, Brother Peacock didn't have a problem with him. He's a liar. He's a liar. I've been put in that boat many times. She gets pretty good about it when she's with me. She'll see it happen, and she'll look over there, and she'll come, and she'll say, honey, I need you for just a second. Could you come here? Sir, excuse me for just a minute. Honey, I need you right now. And I'll act like I'll say, well, honey, I said, no, it's really important. But she's got an eye for it now. She sees it when they kind of hem me up that way. They do that to try to make it look like it's a way of lying. It's to look like I'm in agreement with him against the pastor. I ain't playing that. I don't come into a church and then try to get me a following out of somebody else's church. I don't send them letters and emails to let them know I'm in town so that every stinking tick around there that tried to split that church can come in there and then I get me a little bunch of groupies following me around. I'm there to help the pastor in the church. You're just not familiar with the trick. That's the tricks that they pull. The old preacher taught me that. And that's what they do. They'll come up there and they'll show up, and the people are over there and they're watching them, especially in small southern churches, man. And they're watching. Everybody in that place knows what's going on. And they make a beeline to you to shake your hand. You say, what are they doing? They're lying. They're trying to make it look like, see, he don't have a problem with me. I don't know what's wrong with the pastor. What they don't know is I'll cut their head off and hand it to them because I'm there for the pastor. Even if he's wrong, I ain't backing off on him. Loyalty's a big deal to me. I don't like somebody that plays that slick, underhanded, telephone, Facebook, you know, letter-writing campaign, you know, stuff. I'm glad we don't have that around here, but it goes on a lot of places. It does. It goes on a lot of places. We had a fellow here one time. The old preacher was here preaching, and we kept him down here at the, I don't even remember what it was in those days. It's La Quinta or La Quinta now or whatever it is. And we had him down here, and the phone kept ringing and ringing and ringing, and I finally answered, and it was him. I'd already taken to his room. He said, brother, who is this guy? He's down here knocking on my door. You tell him where I was. I said, preacher, I don't have no idea. And I told him, and I said, that's one of your former students, and that kind of thing. He said, what's he doing down here? Now he's down here running around like a corralled lion in the lobby waiting on me to come down here, and he says this and this and this and this and this. And I said, preacher, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? And he said, I don't want you to do anything. I said, okay. He hung the phone up. He went down there and read that guy the riot act in front of everybody and said, I don't even know what your problem or what your difficulty is or whatever, but I'm here at Brother Peacock's church and I'm not interested in what you've got to say about it, and I'm not going to be down here talking to you in front of nobody else and not have you up there in my room and talk to you privately. You've got an axe to pick with him or a bone to grind with him. You go with him, but I'm not talking to you. I don't want nothing to do with you. You understand me? I don't care if you come back to the meeting. Walked off and left him there. Phone rings. Hello? He said, I took care of it. I said, okay. Are you calling me to, like, where do I bury the body? And he said, no, but he said, I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings. I doubt seriously he'll be back. And he wasn't. You say, what was he doing? Trying to work him. Lying. Wanted to give him all the inside scoop on Brother Peacock, who wouldn't give him the pulpit. Proverbs chapter number 6. These things that the brethren do at times are amazing. Six things that the Lord hate, verse number 7, or 16, that the Lord hate, yea, 7, are an abomination to him. Would you agree that's a pretty bad thing? Yes. Notice number 2 on the list, a proud look and a lying tongue. But he goes on further. Look at what's connected. Hands that shed innocent blood. You can do that with a pen. Watch it. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. That's lying with being able to kind of make yourself believe something's not really wicked when you know good and well it is. Feet that be swift to run into mischief. A false witness. Would you agree a false witness is somebody that does what? Speaks lies. You know what the Lord said? Out of all the things that God could say that he hates, there's not a thing in there about a dress code at all. There's not a thing in there about television or liquor or cigarettes or all the other things that we consider a good Christian. Every one of those are things you do with your mouth or your heart. You know what the Lord says? Twice he mentions in those things it has to do with lying, false witness and lying. And God said, I hate it. You want to get on God's bad side, keep lying. He'll let you get lied to. Look in Proverbs 12. Ain't that what happened to Jake? Remember what happened to Jake? You remember what happened to Joseph? Joseph went out there and they thought he got killed. His brothers went in there and they went over there and they said, well, we don't know what happened to him, Daddy. We don't know what happened to him. See, what happened? Oh, it had goat's blood on the coat. Isn't that what he deceived his daddy with? I'm sorry, what he lied to his daddy with? And then he wound up getting lied to? Didn't Laban lie to him? Sure he did. Laban lied to him. You like that girl? Yeah, pretty girl. Boy, I really like her, man. The first time I saw her made me cry. Yeah, the way you marry her, she really make you cry. And he said, that was a joke. Y'all need to loosen up. You must be under storm pressure or something. You know. But he said, yeah, I really like her. Okay, well, what did it cost? It cost you 7 years of hard work. Boy, he said, I worked 7 years like it's 7 hours. Man, it's nothing. And gets married and goes into... to the tent that night, wakes up the next morning ready to gnaw his arm off. What in the cat hair is going on here? That ain't her. That sure ain't her. Don't look nothing like her. How'd that happen? Oh, you mean sent you somebody that you thought it was and it wasn't? You mean just like you did your daddy? You mean just like you did the Lord? The Lord told you and how it was going to be, and you decided to take it into your own hands? Well, how about that? You got lied to. Imagine that. Reaping what you're sowing, ain't you, Jake? It's all through the Bible. That's a great way to get on the wrong side of God. Don't come promise God something you're going to do and then don't do it. And if you fail doing it, tell Him, I failed doing it. I'm trying, though. But don't be saying you're trying when you ain't trying. Because you're lying. Here's a good way we used to say, you get him in the box and all that kind of stuff. Two things. I swear on my mama's eyes. Oh, here we go. You finger lie now. You don't even say that naturally. You know, I swear on my baby's grave, you know. You fixing to lie. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Well, let me get out of the way when you fall. Right? You are fixing to lie. That's where it's like, let me get out the pen and paper because I'll take that lie and use the truth against you. And watch this in Proverbs. Let me hurry. Proverbs chapter number 12. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 19. I'm so excited about y'all being here tonight. I can't hardly hush up. Verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Let's read that one again. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. So if you speak truth, you're showing righteousness. And when you're lying, you're being deceitful. You're showing that you're deceitful. By the way, you don't tell lies unless that's what's in your heart. If you lie, it shows you're a con man. Verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Pretty serious stuff. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah 7. As a matter of fact, I'll give you this and we'll go to the barn. Jeremiah chapter number 7. I got a lot more online. Come Sunday and I'll give you some more on it. I'll give you some great examples, biblical examples of people that lied and got in trouble. Can I give you just one real quick? How about Mordecai? Anybody know the story of Mordecai? Two of you? Three of you? We all know it, preacher. I'll raise my hand for everybody else. Let's go home. The hurricane's coming. Mordecai, remember Esther? Remember Esther, the Queen Esther, the scepter, and that kind of a thing? You know who lied? He lied about Esther. He lied about Haman. Lied about Mordecai. Haman lied about and made build a gallows, made the whole thing out to the king and so on and so forth the way it was and that kind of a deal. And the king bought into it. And then Esther comes in there and said, he's lying. And the king had enough sense to realize maybe he is and sits down there with him at a table and finds out, well, I'll be jumped. How about that? He is lying. And then he has him lead Mordecai through the city and stuff like that. And Mordecai gets madder and more angry about it. And he goes out there and he says, well, king, if they do this and this and this, you know, you got to put them up there. And the king says, yeah, you're right about that. And the next thing you know, you find him out there and that hot breeze is blowing and his feet are dangling from that rope and he's swinging out there because he was a liar. And it caught up with him. You can't keep lying. Ma'am, you might keep trying to tell everybody you're 39, but when you get 69, I'm sorry, nobody's believing you. I told you Sunday, the greatest 10 years in a woman's life is a time from 29 to 30. Jeremiah chapter number 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, look if you will please in verse number 4. Make it 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, that's pretty funny, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Now, I bring that to your attention because if you just got off a study and about false teachers and false preachers and those kind of things, and they speak with lying lips, and what they do is they try to get you to believe a lie. The greatest lie is something that you want to believe about yourself. The hardest truth you will ever accept is the hard truth about yourself. For somebody to tell you the real truth about how God sees you is a very, very difficult task sometimes. It's hurtful. It hurts. It's hard to sit down and have somebody confront you and say, you're the problem. Very, very few people can actually take it straight like that because they really don't want to get that much better.